Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the second day of June 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Harry Cooney will be here, too, from GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. We'll get an update of crop conditions across the Midwest from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa, and hear a bit more about last week's proposal from U.S. EPA on the RFS on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers in Chicago at the CME Group, where the corn futures finished higher, up 6¾ cents today at $3.59. September at $3.65¼, 7 higher in December contract at $3.76. Your new crop corn up 7 cents. March finished at $3.86¼, 7¼ higher in the May at $3.93½, up 7½. July of next year, $3.99¾, up 7½ cents. It did run all the way to a high price today in the July at $4. July soybeans at $9.40¾, up 14¾. August, $9.27½, 14½ cents higher. September soybeans, $9.17¼, up 15¾. And November contract, the new crop at $9.17, up 15¾. January soybeans 15½ higher, $9.23¾ the settlement. July of next year up 14¼. Settlement price there at $9.36¾. Bean meal up $5.20 at $301.80. And bean oil 34 cents lower at $34.17. Hard red winter wheat at $5.35½ in the lead option. July up 21½ cents. July soft red at $5.12½, 18¾ higher. Live cattle futures on the day. June contract $153.30. They're up 15 cents per 100 pounds. August at 152, 7½, down 7½ cents, and the August feeder cattle at $223.10, 45 cents lower. September down 35 at 222, 2½. Lean hogs finished the June at 84.42½, down 22½ cents, and the July at $83.90, down 45 cents on the afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. A bit later in the cast, we'll take a look at what the weather is like. That with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at Stewart-Peterson.com.
Here's what the outside markets are trading like at this hour. Crude oil July contract, $61.34 a barrel. That's $1.14 higher. The RBOB gasoline at $2.06¼ per gallon, 2¼ cents higher. Ethanol futures are up 4¼ cents at $1.54½. Natural gas at $2.69¼, a nickel higher. And the diesel fuel at $1.94¼, up 2¾ cents. Gold futures settled at $1,194.10 a troy ounce, up $5.70. U.S. dollar at 95.833, down 1.557 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 72 on an east wind at about 9 miles an hour tonight. Clear will drop to a low of 52. That east wind will stay with us at 7 miles an hour. And then tomorrow will go just a bit warmer, 79 degrees under sunny skies. East winds at 3 to 5 tomorrow, mostly clear with a low of 60 tomorrow evening. East winds will turn east-southeast by then at 5 miles an hour, and they'll calm down through the evening. Mostly sunny skies on Thursday. Beautiful day with a high of 83. Light and variable winds Thursday night, cloudy and 64. And Friday, a 50% chance of showers, some thunderstorms. Those all come after 8 a.m. in the morning. Mostly cloudy, a high of 81 degrees Friday night. Will drop to 62 with showers and thunderstorms under mostly cloudy skies. And Saturday, those showers and thunderstorms will continue under partly sunny skies. Saturday will go all the way to a high of 79 degrees and then drop Saturday night to a low of 59 under partly cloudy skies.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this second day of June, a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, is here to explain to us why it is that the market bounced today. What happened with the soybeans, the bean, the corn, and even the wheat today?
Well, I think there was a couple of things that happened and went together to form a very impressive day as far as the bulls were concerned. You know, you talked about the dollar there, you know, down, 1,533 ticks here today. Up, you know, 1.5%. The euro up 2.5% compared to what it was to the dollar. That is very encouraging. We saw the crop progress reports yesterday, and they were looking for a few more acres of beans to be planted, and we saw a couple states that were way, way behind and starting to think we might see some prevented plant in some of those areas. So that was a little bit positive. The crop ratings didn't increase on the corn, so that was there also. And it's a full moon, and a lot of guys like Dan and a few of the others out there that do cycles were calling for a cycle trend change today and tomorrow. So all those things lumped together, Todd, come in with a higher market.
That would tell me turnaround Tuesday would turn into something longer. Do you think that's possible?
I think we're going to be watching the dollar very closely and see what the funds do. The funds got quite long bean oil last week on the run-up from the RFS announcement. They have been quite short on the corn and the beans and the wheat here. And we saw, you know, a little bit of volume running for the door there and that today. So a lot of times we see funds react in three-day periods. So will we see a continuation tomorrow? As long as the dollar continues to stay under pressure, I think we'll see a little bit of follow-through.
Oftentimes the commercials give us a better idea of where fundamentally they think this marketplace sits at the moment. Where do they stand? Are they long or shortened in which markets?
Well, I mean, that's what's sort of funny is the commercials have tended to get a little bit long in some of these markets, just for the idea that I think they were wanting to get some supplies that the farmers have been very tight holders of. You know, there was a survey done that said that 27% of the farmers that had corn in the bins were going to hold it clear on through harvest unless they saw some good price appreciation here. And another 12 or 14% that said they'll maybe sell a little after they see their corn pollinate, but not all of it, and they're going to store some. So, you know, very stubborn holders on the farm this year, and maybe we've hit a point of equilibrium as far as prices here going low enough until we see a better picture of what's going on in production.
I think I read yesterday from Ed Ossett, who is an ag economist at Minnesota, an article that pointed out that Bob Wisner, who was Iowa State's ag economist for a long time, now works for AgMark, and then Daryl Good and Scott Irwin here, and also Dan O'Brien, who we talk with each Tuesday afternoon once a month, that was last week, from Kansas State Extension, all thinking that corn prices, cash prices for the season, could end up above $4. That seems like a pretty long stretch to many people. How about to you?
Well, we would like to see it stretch there just for the simple fact that that would make our farming community much more profitable for the year. As of right today, and as you're looking at the crop progress where it's at with the forecasts we're looking at and some of the other things going on, we're going to have to see a weaker dollar to see that happen, Todd. But that doesn't mean that that isn't very, very possible. But I don't think it's going to be unless we see some weather problems or a weaker dollar.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Each Tuesday of the growing season, we check USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service's Crop Progress Report. NAS says 95% of the crop now has been sown across the nation. That compares with the rolling five-year average of 94% for this week. 84% of the crop is emerged. Rolling five-year average is 79%, 62% of that crop in good condition, 12% in excellent. That's the same as last week, but 2 percentage points below last year at this same point. Soybeans, 71% sown now, 70% is the rolling five-year average, so just about on time. 49% of the crop is up and growing. That's ahead of the rolling five-year average. which is 45%. Sorghum planting is now 43% complete. 55% is the normal, but Kansas is way behind, and this is one of the top two sorghum-producing states in the nation. Just 11% sown as of Sunday. Normally, Kansas is about 35% complete by this same week in May. Winter wheat conditions are now shown to be 84% headed, 77% is the rolling five-year average, and 36% of that crop is in good condition, 8% in excellent. Last year, those numbers were 25 and 5, respectively. Now, here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report. Cool temperatures and persistent wet conditions hindered fieldwork in Iowa. Operators reported standing water in some fields and the need to replant in areas of some fields. Producers are still concerned about muddy feedlots and limited spraying due to wet fields. Rainfall totals varied from only 0.19 inches at Holstein to 4.68 inches just east of Denison, where a narrow band of thunderstorms dumped heavy rain on Monday night. The statewide average precipitation was 1.10 inches, or just slightly above the weekly normal of 1.07 inches. Topsoil moisture levels increased to 98% adequate to surplus. Subsoil moisture levels increased to 94% adequate to surplus. 97% of the corn crop has been planted, behind last year's progress for the first time this season. Corn emerge reached 90%, just 2 days ahead of last year in normal. 80% of the corn crop was rated good to excellent. Soybean planting reached 78% complete, 1 week behind 2014 and 4 days behind average. Southwest and South Central Iowa continued to lag behind in the planting of their expected soybean acreage, with only 37% and 50% of their soybean crop in the ground, respectively. Soybean emergence reached 53% statewide, slightly behind last year and normal. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was warm and wet across the prairie state. Rainfall averaged 2.22 inches around Illinois, more than 1.2 inches above normal. Temperatures averaged almost 4 degrees above the norm. Topsoil moisture supplies increased and are now rated 2% short, 76% adequate, and 22% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies are now rated 8% short, 80% adequate, and 12% surplus. Southern areas remain generally wetter than the rest of the state. The percent of corn acres where the crop has emerged advanced 7 points to 94% compared to 88% normally. The condition of the crop is nearly unchanged at 3% very poor to poor, 18% fair, and 79% good to excellent. Soybean planting increased by 13 percentage points to 82% complete, the same as 1 year ago and 9 points ahead of the five-year average for this date. 62% of the crop has emerged compared to 51% normally. The first crop condition report for soybeans this year shows 3% of acres are in very poor to poor condition, 20% are fair, and 77% are in good to excellent condition. 94% of wheat acres are now heading, slightly ahead of the five-year average of 93%. The condition of the crop declined from last week and is now rated as 10% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 35% fair, 48% good, and 7% excellent. In other crops, 60% of sorghum acres are now planted, 38% of oats are heading, 41% of the first cutting of alfalfa hay is complete, and 40% of other hay acres have been cut. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Above average precipitation and cool temperatures across Minnesota restricted farmers to only 3.0 days rated suitable for field work during the week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 0% very short, 1% short, 86% adequate, and 13% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 0% very short, 7% short, 87% adequate, and 6% surplus. This was the first time all season with no subsoil moisture in the very short supply category. 95% of the Minnesota corn crop had emerged. That's 17 days ahead of last year and 16 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn condition rated 70% good to excellent, a slight increase from the previous week. Soybean planting was 94% complete, and 74% of the soybean acreage had emerged. That was 12 days ahead of the previous year and 11 days ahead of average. 51% of the spring wheat acreage was at or beyond the jointing stage. That's 23 days ahead of last year. Spring wheat condition rated 73% good to excellent. That's up 6 percentage points from the prior week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Ben Megan with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 31st, 2015. Growers continued to make progress planting corn and soybeans, despite rain for much of the week. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.43 to 5.85 inches, with a statewide average of 1.71 inches. Winter wheat headed was 79% complete, compared to 81% last year and 88% five-year average. Corn was 95% planted this week, compared to 94% last year and 89% five-year average. Corn emerged was 81% complete, compared to 81% last year and 77% five-year average. Soybeans were 80% planted this week, compared to 78% last year and 70% five-year average. Soybeans emerged was 51% complete, compared to 51% last year and 50% five-year average. While producers were able to continue to plant, many hay producers continued to wait for a dry window to cut hay. Corn planting is projected to finish in the next week, and soybeans are going in the ground quickly, though winter wheat harvest has not begun yet, which will hold off double crop soybean planting. Winter wheat progress and condition are both nearly the same as this time last year. Northern Indiana saw heavier rain than the rest of the state, with precipitation being spotty in the central and southern regions. Some areas are seeing ponding that will lead to replanting, while others in the south are seeing crops hurt by dry weather. Other activities for the week included spraying for weeds, side dressing corn, and hauling grain. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 31st, 2015. This is Ben Megan reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates during the growing season of crop progress and condition across the Midwest. Now, you know, last week, U.S. EPA released its renewable fuels standards. The National Corn Growers Association Vice President of Production, Paul Bertels, says EPA has cut 3.75 billion gallons of corn ethanol from the nation's fuel supply with the proposal from 2014 to 2016. Bertels says that represents a significant amount of lost corn demand. However, he does admit there's some offsetting benefits from exports. But that's about it.
We're exporting probably 800 million gallons of ethanol right now, which is kind of keeping us in the game as far as corn price. But the problem is you come out with this decision in the end of May after basically the entire corn crop is planted. So we're planting the 15-16 crop right now where it's planted. Our point is, hey, why are you making this decision after farmers have the opportunity? You know, we can't react now. The corn is in the ground.
Bertels says with an expected 2 billion bushel carryout into next season, EPA's RFS proposal does nothing to get corn back to the cost of production. NCGA, the National Corn Growers Association, and other farm groups argue the RFS was working as intended, with no need to change it except to benefit the oil companies unwilling to expand infrastructure to mix higher ethanol blends. Bertels says NCGA is looking at both legal and legislative remedies. Those are two options the Illinois Farm Bureau is also exploring. The president of the organization, Richard Giebert, held a telephone press conference earlier today. He says the administration is not following through on its own promises.
There's little in the new RFS mandates to spur more investment in the advanced biofuels. EPA is buying further into the oil industry arguments that it has hit the blend wall. It is ironic to us that an administration that talks about the need to reduce greenhouse emissions places so little emphasis on biofuels.
The RFS proposal, as laid out by US EPA, is open for public comment through July the 27th. Let's check now what's been happening in the agricultural energies. Harry Cooney is here from GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. Harry, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Well, sure.
And tell me about the marketplace for agricultural energies.
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd, we've had an interesting market in that crude oil market tried to sell off at the end of May, and we got up in May there probably in the probably the $63 level or so earlier in May, actually sold off to in the middle to upper 50s there in late May, but now has bounced back, and now we're just crossing the line back over $60 a barrel, and so the market doesn't seem to want to give up much. There are some seasonal price studies, and we've talked about those before, especially in gasoline, diesel fuel, and in propane, for some bottoms to be made in the market here around this time of the year. And I think that's why some of the buying is coming in. Also today, though, the dollar took a big drop. And when the dollar falls, it tends to be bullish for commodities, including energy. So that's some of the reasons of why we're moving a little bit to the upside after that late May dip.
Have you been looking, and I believe this is the case, that you already had producers lock in maybe some fall supplies, but what do they do at this point now that they've made it through the spring in planting season?
Oh, great question. That is a fantastic question. A lot of people have. In fact, we have 170% of the contracts that we had a year ago on the books now. So we have almost twice as many contracts with our FS member cooperatives as we had a year ago. So a lot of end users have locked in. But if you're one of those that have not locked gallons in for fall, looks like crops growing good. Looks like we could have a good sized crop, a lot of fuel demand. This is the time, because seasonally prices tend to try to firm up from here out into midsummer, sometimes late summer, and even into fall, especially the propane market. The propane market has given a nice setback. And take advantage of that. These are great levels to be locking in. Talk to your local FS member cooperative about the programs they offer. Also, though, in propane, make sure to get your tanks filled up at this time of the year, because in most cases, your tank full will take and be the cheapest price you pay.
So why would that be the case? I understand the seasonal for gasoline because we're in the travel season through the summer, but why would propane prices at this time of year?
Well, just look at it. I mean, you use it for grain drying and home heat demand, for example, and those two items are very low at this time of the year. I mean, you know, you're more on air conditioning and such. So the demand for propane at this time of the year is low, so thus usually that's when you have your dip in price. In fact, many years, the month of June has given some of the best pricing opportunities of any month of the year.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We talk each and every Tuesday with an agricultural economist and specialist in agricultural energies right here to keep track of what's been happening in the world of that marketplace just for you.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Hazelnut Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1857, a farmer, James Gibbs of Mill Point, Virginia, invented the first practical U.S. chain stitch sewing machine. It went for $50, half the price of anything similar of the day. In 1886, U.S. President Grover Cleveland married Frances Folsom, with a ceremony taking place in the White House. Cleveland is the only president to be married in the White House. In 1928, Velveeta cheese was created by Kraft. It was packaged in a tin foil lined wooden box. When melted, it was smooth as velvet, hence the name. By the way, Kraft's first factory was in Stockton, Illinois in 1914. In 1943, John Frank Stevens died. Stevens, an American civil engineer, was in charge of the Panama Canal project from 1905 to 1907. He planned the major features of the waterway and lobbied openly for a high-level type lock canal, which was realized with the president's signature in 1906. And in 2003, the USDA declared that frozen, batter-coated French fries are fresh vegetables. And a year later, a federal judge agreed, saying the term fresh vegetables was ambiguous. By the way, USDA had unsuccessfully tried in 1981 to classify ketchup and pickle relish as vegetables. Public protest caused them to drop the idea. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listen to agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media on demand anytime you'd like on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. There we post all of the programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, not long after it airs on our radio stations. And in the case of Commodity Week, before it ever airs on any radio station, Commodity Week is recorded Thursday afternoon, usually posted late on Thursday evening. Agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. Find it online at WILLAG.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. In the Midwest, we have received a great deal of rain, especially in my part of the world over the weekend, but not so much that things look really bad. They just start to look really good. What do we see in the future?
Well, I would say it's going to continue to be the same pattern here for the Corn Belt and Midwest as we look ahead over the next couple of weeks, where temperatures are going to be darn close to average, nothing too hot, nothing too cold, and we're going to continue to have episodes where there is going to be some clusters of showers and thunderstorms moving through. This could be especially true in the western Corn Belt areas. We expect Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin in the coming days ahead to see some good chances for precipitation. That better precipitation will then move into the central and eastern Corn Belt as we get into the early to middle portions of next week. So when you put that all together, it looks just about right in terms of what you want to see this time of year. Some chances of rain, not too much, and temperatures that are warming up, but nothing that's getting too hot or too cool.
No, kind of that Goldilocks thing you've been talking about. Actually, with Goldilocks, there's always a little too much and a little too not enough. And I guess if you go to the south, depending on whether you're in the west or the east, you kind of end up with the same sorts of functions.
That's right. Now, one good piece of news for folks in the soaked areas of Oklahoma and Texas. The southern plains will see a drier period. I think they'll have wet weather return, but for the next week to 10 days, those southern plains will be a little bit drier. For the southeastern states that have been dry for May and into early June, they're going to see the chances of rain increase across Georgia, the southeast United States, and into Florida as well.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Here's a list of agricultural websites I think you should visit, starting with our own, willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, the FarmDoc website. The address there is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. It's a newspaper of sorts that's updated once a day during the business day with a brand new article from the Ag Economist right here on campus. It's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Their working site, the places where you can pick up all kinds of Excel spreadsheets and such, is farmdoc.illinois.edu. So FarmDoc Daily and FarmDoc. And then, of course, the Bulletin website, which is bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu. Easiest to search Bulletin and Illinois.edu on Google to find out what the crop scientists here on campus are saying about the growing conditions in the state of Illinois. I'm Yovie Extension's Todd Gleason.